If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Hebrews. I'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to begin with the 18th verse and read through the end of the chapter. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's Word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege of calling upon the one true and living God, and to know that Thou art our Heavenly Father, that Thou dost love us with an everlasting love, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we're preserved in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for eternal security. We're thankful to know that the devil and all of his angels can't take us out of Thy hand. We're thankful to know that one day we're going to be carried home to be with Thee forever, in that home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, where there will be no more sorrow, sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more problems, no more trouble, no more sin. We look forward to that day. We look forward to the time that we're going to see Thee face to face and be able to give Thee the praise, honor, and glory that's due Thy great and holy name. We're also thankful that while we live here, that You've given us the privilege to be a part of Thy church, to be able to read and study Thy holy word, to be able to meet together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to join our voices together to try to sing songs and to worship Thee, to pray together, and to study Thy holy word. And we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would be our teacher this day, that Thou would be with us, Thou would help us to honor Thee and glorify Thee. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come this morning asking Thee to fill us all with the Spirit of God, that we might be able to concentrate on the Word of God, that we would hear, understand, believe, and obey Thy Word. May Thy Word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We beg Thy blessings upon all those that are sick. We know that Thou art the great physician, that nothing is impossible with Thee. We know that we've seen Thee perform miracles, and we thank You, Lord, for the many ways that we've been able to see the power of God working and lifting up those who are sick. We ask Thee again now to bless all those that are on our hearts and minds, those that are sick physically. We pray that You would touch their bodies and lift them up and restore them to their health. Those who are sick spiritually or lukewarm and indifferent, we pray that You would stir up in their hearts a zeal and commitment and dedication to Thee that they once had. And we pray, Lord, that You would touch the hearts of all of Thy people and help us to realize the ways that we have strayed from Thee, and help us to repent and return to Thee. Forgive us all of our sins. Be merciful and gracious to us. Bless those who have lost loved ones. Comfort their hearts. You know the needs of every person here today. You know the problems and the burdens that they carry. We ask You to help and to bless each of them and guide and direct us all by Thy Spirit. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 18, the Word of God is talking about, this is where Paul is writing to the Hebrews, that they were Jews. They had come out of law worship and had begun to follow Jesus Christ. And as they came out of that law worship, there are many times in the book of Hebrews that Paul makes a contrast between things, the way things were under the law and the way that they worshiped God under the law and the way that they worship God now under grace. Hebrews chapter 12 is making another contrast there. Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 18, the Word of God says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. What mountain was that? He says, ye are not come unto this mountain. Then he describes the mountain. What mountain was that that he says you're not come to? Mount Sinai. That's where the, you remember the Ten Commandments were given to the children of Israel. You remember how that if anybody touched that mountain, that they would die. And that was a mountain that was a literal mountain. So he begins by saying, for you're not coming to the mountain that might be touched. That is, human hands could touch that mountain. You're not come to that mountain that could be touched, but it was a mountain that if you touched it, you would die. You're not come to that mountain, but he says in verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now he lists about seven or eight things, depending on how you look at this. He lists about seven or eight blessings that we are come to under the gospel of grace. Then in verse 25, he says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shall shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. He's saying God is shaking all those things that were under the law covenant, the temple and everything that was in the temple. God's going to shake those things and destroy them because he has something better for the people of God than what they had in Jerusalem. He says in verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. If correctly read, that's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. Basically, what Paul is saying to these Jews is, you had a kingdom under the law. You had a temple under the law. You had many visible things that you could touch under the law. He says, but now you've come to something far better. You've come to a mountain different than Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was a mountain you could touch. Now you've come to a mountain that you cannot touch and a mountain you cannot see, but there are better things on this mountain than what came off of Mount Sinai. Now look at verse 22. As he talks about these two different mountains, and we just sang several songs. One of the songs was, is not this the land of Beulah? And it talks about I'm living on the mountain. And then we talked about dwelling in Beulah land. We sang about dwelling in Beulah land. We sang, I'm marching, we're marching to Zion. All of those songs were talking about the same thing Paul is talking about here, beginning in Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22, he says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. We're going to stop right there. Not you are going to. Most people, when they think about this new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, what do they think of when they think about the heavenly Jerusalem? They think about eternal heaven. He doesn't say you are going to that mountain, you're going to that heavenly city. He says, but ye are come, notice the wording there in Hebrews 12, 22. He says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. You're not at Mount Sinai, you're at Mount Zion. And I want us to understand this morning, that's what these songwriters are writing about. When they say, I'm living on the mountain, I'm drinking from the fountain, and all the other wording that they use there. And we're marching to Zion. That Mount Zion is Paul, all of these things, the seven things that are listed here, are all things that are found in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. In fact, as you go through these things, you'll find that there are different degrees of joy that you and I can experience in the kingdom of heaven. The first thing I want you to experience, or rather the first thing I want you to see, I want you to picture this. I want you to picture exactly what he says you are come to. He says, you are come to Mount Zion. You're come to the holy city. He calls it the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. I want you to picture a mountain. And then on top of that mountain, I want you to picture a city. And then in that city, I want you to picture the highest point in that city. I want you to picture a temple in that city. And then in that temple, I want you to understand that there's a great high priest in that temple, as well as the fact that there are many saints of God in that temple. And then you view that, the mountain and what's on top of the mountain, the what? The city is on top of the mountain, and in that city, what do you see? What's focused, everything, the most important thing in that city? The temple. Now, that's what we've come to. We are come to Mount Zion. We are come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We are come to the temple of God. We are come, and that's a picture of the church. And we are come to the people of God, and we are come to an innumerable host of angels, and we are come to Jesus Christ, and we are come to God. That's what he says we are come to now. And I want you to go back and first look at we are come to Mount Zion. That's the first thing he says we are come to. I want us to go through these seven things that he talks about we are come to, and I want you to pray that God will help us to understand these are things that we already have. These are things that we ought to be rejoicing in. These men who penned these songs that we just sang, they rejoiced that they were come to Mount Zion. Not that they were going to Mount Zion when they died. Not that they were going to that heavenly Jerusalem. But they were rejoicing they could experience and have this heavenly Jerusalem right now. Brethren, that's what Paul was saying to the saints of God, these Hebrew saints of God. He was saying, listen, we've got something far better than we had under the law. We have right now. Not Mount Sinai, but we have Mount Zion. I want you to back up, first of all, back up in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament about when Mount Zion would be established. That there was going to be a great Mount Zion. There was going to be a heavenly Jerusalem that was going to be established. That the first heaven and the first earth was going to be taken away. That is, that Jewish world was going to be destroyed, and that's what Paul talks about in Hebrews 12:27, when he talks about those things that we have that are now shaken and are taken away. Back up in Jeremiah, look in your Bibles at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 6. The prophet Jeremiah is talking about a day that was going to come when we would be able, the saints of God, the people of God, would be able to dwell in Mount Zion. Now let me just pause right there. I want all of you to understand there is an eternal heaven. And that we're going to be in eternal heaven forever when this world is over. In fact, at the very moment that I leave this world, at the very moment that I die, I'm going to be with God right then. But what God's Word emphasizes is that not only we're going to be in heaven when we die, but God's Word's emphasizing I can dwell in a heaven right now. And that's what this whole passage is about. In Jeremiah chapter 31, listen please to verse 6. We just sang one of the songs is, we're marching to Zion. We're marching, one of the verses in that song says, we're marching upward to Zion. Do you have to leave some things down in the world to march up to Zion? Are the things of this earth that you have to leave behind in order to march up to Zion? That's what the Word of God is talking about here. Jeremiah 31, verse 6, the Word of God says, for there shall be a day. This is this future tense that Jeremiah is writing about from the time he was writing. This is future tense. He says, for there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Now listen, I've already said that those seven blessings in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22, through 24, the seven blessings that are mentioned there, all of those blessings are found in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is where we have intimate fellowship with God. When we talk about going up, marching to Zion, we're not just talking about us getting up on a mountaintop. We're talking about the people of God dwelling with the Lord. Not talking about eternal dwelling with the Lord. I'm talking about living with God right now. It's a blessing to have somebody to live with. Did you know that? And some of these people in the nursing home, they don't have their natural houses anymore, but they still have somebody to live with. And I'm not just talking about their roommate in the nursing home. I'm talking about to have God live with them there. That's a great blessing. To feel God right there in that place. To feel God in my home. You know, I feel the presence of God when I come to the house of God, but I need to feel the presence of God every time I walk in my door at home. But I don't just need to feel the presence of God when I'm in the house of God and when I'm in home. I need to be able to feel the presence of God no matter where I go. I can walk about Zion no matter where I am. If I'm serving God and fearing God and obeying God, God will manifest Himself to me, and you can be on Mount Zion even if you're in the valley of the shadow of death. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can go through very difficult times in your life and yet be dwelling on the mountain. I do not believe for a moment that these men who wrote these songs about I'm living on the mountain and I'm drinking from the fountain, they're not talking about they didn't have any troubles in their life. They're talking about the fact, if you read those songs carefully, they're talking about the fact that they're experiencing great joy in fellowship with God right now, even in the midst of all of their troubles. So you can dwell up on Mount Zion. It's a spiritual mountain that you can dwell on Mount Zion no matter what your problems and troubles are in life. And if you don't feel like you're dwelling on Mount Zion, you need to understand there are things that you must do in order to dwell on Mount Zion. The songwriter says, and the Scriptures teach that you have to march up to Zion. You have to leave the weak and beggarly elements of this world. You have to turn your back on the things of this world. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Scripture says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Is there a race for you to run? Is there a mountain for you to climb? Jeremiah says there was going to come a day that the people of God would be able to, that there would be people that cried out and said, arise ye and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. When you go up to Zion, what are you going to? Listen carefully. When you go up to Zion, what are you going to? According to Jeremiah 31:6. When you go up to Zion, you're going to something. It's not just to live on a mountain. Let us go up to Mount Zion unto the what? Unto the Lord our God. That's what we're going to. The focus is not to just go up there and dwell on a mountain. The focus is I'm going to dwell with God. God should be the focus of our lives. Dwelling with Him and having fellowship with Him. Knowing that we have a Father that loves us. You know, my natural daddy was a great, great blessing to me. He was a blessing beyond measure. He was one that had wisdom and understanding. He was a man that I respected. He was a man that I loved. He was a man I depended on. He was a friend of mine. And I found great peace in being in His presence. Do you know what I mean? If you had a good daddy, do you know what I'm talking about? Having a good daddy that loves the Lord, loves the things of God, you just find great peace in being with them. My daddy is no longer here on this earth. Now, I believe I still sometimes feel His presence. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I have a Heavenly Father. Listen, I have a Heavenly Father that I can feel His presence every day. Not talking about sentiment about my natural daddy. I'm talking about the true spiritual truth that we as the people of God can have fellowship with our Heavenly Father right now. And so he says, Jeremiah says, there's going to come a day that the watchman would cry out and say, arise ye, and let's go up to Mount Zion unto the Lord our God. And that's my cry to you this morning, is arise. The way the the way the Apostle Paul spoke to the saints of God at Ephesus is, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. My admonition and my cry to you is, arise, let us go up to Mount Zion. Why? Just so we can be happy up there on the mountain? No, let's go up there on that mountain because we're going to the Lord our God. Am I talking about dying and going home to be with the Lord? No, I'm talking about let's get above the weak and beggarly elements of this world and let's have fellowship with God every day. Let's dwell on the mountain no matter where we are and no matter what we're experiencing in our lives. We can dwell on Mount Zion. The Apostle Paul says, ye are come. You hear the wording there again? Ye are come to Mount Zion. You're come to Mount Zion. Look at Zechariah. The easiest way to find Zechariah, and sometimes people say, well, just don't go to these little bitty books. I can't find them. Well, you miss a lot of truth when you don't go to these little bitty books. It's all part of the Word of God. You start and go to Matthew and back up about 6 pages, and you should be in the book of Zechariah. Start in Matthew and back up about 6 pages. It's the next to the last book of the Old Testament. Start in Matthew, back up about 6 pages. You should be in the book of Zechariah. Please look in your Bibles at Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. Listen to verses 2 and 3. What are we talking about? We're talking about 7 great blessings that the people of God can experience in the kingdom of heaven. What's the first blessing we're talking about? It's called what? Mount what? Mount Zion. Mount Zion. Now listen carefully. Let me go back to that word picture I tried to paint earlier. What's the picture you have? What's the first thing you see? The what? The mountain. And then on top of that mountain, what do you see? The city. And then in the city, you see what? The temple. You've got the mountain, you've got the city, and you have the temple. Can you be on the mountain without being in the city? Everybody hear the question? Can you be on the mountain without going all the way up to the city? Yes. Can you be in the city without being in the temple that's in the city? Everybody follow that? What I'm trying to show you is that there are many of the people of God that have begun their journey going up Mount Zion. They've begun to go toward God. They've begun to leave some of the things of the world, and they are on Mount Zion. But they're way down toward the bottom of the mountain, but at least they're headed up Mount Zion. And if they will keep pressing on, that's another expression the songwriter says, I'm pressing on the upward way. You see that? I'm pressing on. You see him climbing the mountain? I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Have you ever experienced that in your life, that you felt like this is the best it's ever been? Have you ever been there to gain new heights? Well, listen, the songwriter says, I'm gaining new heights every day. How did he get that? How did he have new heights every day? You just slide up that mountain, don't you? You just slide up the mountain, don't you? That's how you get new heights every day, is just slide up that mountain. I tell you, you can't slide up. You can slide down. You can go backwards. You can get away from God easily. But going toward God, going up Mount Zion requires pressing. He says, I'm pressing on the upward way. Listen to this, brethren. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, every man, what's the next word there? Every man presseth into it. The law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. That's what that songwriter's talking about when he says, I'm pressing on the upward way. I'll just ask you this morning, are you going upward or are you going downward? You're not going upward unless you're pressing on the upward way. You're not going upward unless you're trying hard to be more diligent and more dedicated in your service to God. I'm pressing on the upward that way. New heights I'm gaining. You keep climbing that mountain, where will you eventually get to? Okay, you get to the top of the hill, but what's on top of that hill? What's the next thing? What's the next level after you keep climbing the mountain? What's on top of the mountain? The city of the living God. That's what we're going to study in just a minute. You get to the city of the living God. Now let me ask you this. If you're in the city of the living God, are you also on the mountain? If you're on the mountain, are you necessarily in the city? Not necessarily. But if you're in the city, you're on the mountain. If you're in the temple, that this is all talking about, are you in the city? Yes. If you're in the temple, you're in the city. If you're in the temple, are you on the mountain? Or if you're on the mountain, are you in the temple? Not necessarily. We're talking about growing, talking about progressing in our service to God, getting to higher ground, greater joys, closer fellowship with God. Do you know some people, and the more you know them, the more you love them? Are there some people like that, that the more you know them, the more you love them? Well, that's the way it is with God. The more you know about God, and the closer you get to God, the greater He'll be in your understanding, and the more you'll love Him, and the more you'll realize He loves you. Your Father loves you. Your Father loves you. Zechariah, listen now to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. We're talking about ye are come to Mount Zion. Zechariah 8, listen to verses 2 and 3. This again is a prophecy about us coming to Mount Zion. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. The Word of God says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion." Thus saith who? Now who was zealous? Who was it that was jealous for Zion? Was it Zechariah, or was it God that was jealous for Zion? It was the Lord. It was God. "For thus saith the Lord God, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with a great fury." You know, if I don't care about my wife, I'm not going to be jealous of her. Now, I know you can go to an extreme and be over-jealous. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You can be insanely jealous. There's got to be trust. I have to trust my wife. Listen, if I don't care who my wife runs around with, I don't care who she goes out with, I don't love her. That's just the bottom line. God loves His church. He loves His bride. And He's jealous over His bride. God is jealous over you as a part of the bride of Christ. God cares whether or not you serve Him. He's jealous over you. He says, "I was jealous over Zion with a great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with a great fury." Listen to verse 3. "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." Now, was there an old Jerusalem? Was that old Jerusalem a city of truth? No. Was that old Mount Zion, was it a holy mountain? No. What is Zechariah saying? He's saying that God, after He had destroyed that old Jerusalem, He was going to establish a new Jerusalem. He's going to establish a holy city. He's going to talk about a mountain now that's a holy mountain. And He's going to talk about a Jerusalem that's a city of truth. Now, this Jerusalem that He's talking about and prophesying here is the same thing that we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 12. That holy mountain and that new Jerusalem, a city of truth. Did you know that you can't be lying and dwell in the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is a city of truth. Did you know that? Revelation chapter 21 talks about, toward the end of that chapter, it says that nobody will enter into that city if they speak lies. If you're speaking lies, did you know you can't dwell in the kingdom of heaven? Can you be cast out of the kingdom of heaven? Yes, you can. You can be cast out of the kingdom of heaven. Can you dwell in the kingdom of heaven? Yes, you can dwell in the kingdom of heaven. That's right. It is so easy to lie when you don't realize it. And when you do lie, what happens to you? What do you lose? You slide right back down that mountain. You get off the mountain. Go with me now. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I just want you to pray that God will help us to understand that we are come. This mountain is right there in front of you. It's right in it's before us. It's something that God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here in this world. "Ye are come to Mount Zion." What's the next thing He says you're come to? Not only the mountain, you're come to Mount Zion. In Hebrews 12:22, "You're come unto Mount Zion." I want you to notice, "and." Is it the same thing when He says, "and to"? Is the mountain and the, is the mountain and the city of the living God the same thing? I don't think so. Yes, I don't believe that it is. "You're come to Mount Zion and," something different now, "in addition to this mountain, you're come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to," and then He lists something else. He's giving you a list of things that you're come to when you come to the kingdom of heaven. Now, back up to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll close right here. I just want to mention the city of the living God. I want you to mention the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And we'll begin there again, Lord willing, tonight. But I want you to see these seven things we're come to. We're come to Mount Zion, a holy mountain. We're come to the city of truth, the new Jerusalem. When Abraham was here on this earth, was he looking for a city? Was Abraham looking for a city? Yes, he was. The Word of God says that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the Word of God says they dwelt in tents because they were looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Did Abraham see that city afar off that we're talking about now? Did he see Mount Zion afar off? Did he see that holy city, New Jerusalem? Yes, he did. In Hebrews chapter 11, listen to verse 10, talking about Abraham seeing this holy city and looking for that city. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, "For he that is Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You see the holy city, the New Jerusalem? I pray that God will help us as children of God to realize what a blessing it is not to be at Mount Sinai. Could those people go approach God at Mount Sinai? Could they approach God? Could they approach God? What happened if they tried to approach God on that mountain? They would die. Now, what a wonderful blessing it is that we can approach God. Do you know what a blessing it is to be able to approach God? To actually go to God. To actually approach the God of heaven and earth. And that's what we can do. That's one of the seven things he says. We are come to Mount Zion. We are come to the holy city, the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem. We are come to an innumerable company of angels. That's a blessing, you know. We're come to an innumerable company of angels. We're come to the church of the living God. And we're come to God, the judge of all. And we are come to the spirits of just men made perfect. And we are come to Jesus. And we are come to the blood of sprinkling. Every one of these are different blessings that we have in the kingdom of heaven. May God help us to realize what we've come to is my prayer for Christ's sake.